So it's funny. When I was younger, I never wanted to be a pastor's wife. Never, never, never. And some of you know this story. I wanted to go to Africa. I'm like, no, Africa, me. Pastor's wife, no. I was associate pastor's wife, and I was okay with that because I wasn't in the spotlight. And so when my husband came home and said, hey, I think this is really good. This is God. I said, no, I don't think so. No, I'm going to Africa, and you're coming with me, because we talked about that. And he said, no, I really feel like that God has called us to plant a church, and, you know, we're going to be the senior pastors. So he told me this, by the way, and you'll love this. Like, we, at that time, we were in a parsonage. We were associate pastors. And so we had a very small house that we were living in. And so the door kind of opened. I was in the shower, by the way. You know how that is. It was before kids. And so he's walking down the hallway, and I'm in the shower. And he's like, yeah, I think God has called us to be senior pastors. And I'm like, surely I did not hear that right. I'm in the shower. So I stuck my head out of the shower curtain. What are you talking about? You know, and so then I'm beginning to argue with God the whole entire time. So my shower was not pleasant. So I was throwing a fit in the shower for the Lord. One of the best things that God has ever called me to, one of the most humbling things that God has ever called me to, because I have to keep close to Jesus. You know, I thought the pastor's wife had to be perfect. So I told God, I said, have you looked at me? I mean, seriously? Have you seen my house? I'm not sure I even like women. I hide from people. Have you ever, honestly, be honest, have you ever hid in the bathroom stall pretending like you were going to the bathroom? I've done that. Okay, everybody will leave and I'll be in here. Yeah, that was last Sunday. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. It was not last Sunday. Although, sometimes I think about it. So anyway, so I love being a pastor's wife and I love women. But it was a healing journey for me because I didn't always feel that way. I didn't always feel that way. And the Lord has really done a lot in my life. So I wanted to show you a picture of my family. A lot of you know us, but that is my husband. That's Pastor Jeff. That's my oldest daughter. That is Hannah, her husband. She got married about 3 years ago in April. That's her husband, Joe, my son, Isaiah, who is 18. Hannah is 22, by the way. Isaiah is 18. And then there is my youngest, who is here. She is 15, almost 16, going on 30. And she tells me how to dress. So I take her with me shopping. And when I look at dresses, she's like, put that back. No. I mean, sometimes she slaps my hand. It's really kind of humiliating. She's like, Mom, that is old. Old. So now I just hold it up to her. I'm like, and then if she gets that grimace, like, oh, then I'm like, oh, okay. So she helps me quite a bit. And I'm grateful for my daughter. She also helps me with makeup as well. So she's one of those, I'm like, what do you think this will go good on my face? And then she gets me and then she's like, and she grabs my hand and she looks and then she's like, yeah, I think so. I think it'll work. And sure enough, it does. So I'm very grateful for my youngest daughter. And all of my children, actually. But as Lisa talked about yesterday, you know, that looks like a perfect family. And we are not. And we did not fight before this picture. I do have pictures of us that we have fought. And then, you know, we're like, you know, we all do that, right? On Instagram and on Facebook. And we all look like the happy family. But I wanted to share with you a couple of stories about us as well. So I decided to homeschool when my kids were younger. And I thought, well, that's hard. I mean, you know, it's easy to homeschool. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, remember I told you that God knows the number of hairs that we have on our head? I had a lot more hair before I homeschooled. So homeschooling was really hard for me. And so let me just tell you a little bit about my family. When Hannah was born, my oldest, she was the one that never stopped talking. So she told everybody in elevators who I was and where we lived. And anything else that was happening in our family. She was the nonstop talker and telling everybody everything. She was also my wanderer. So if I turned around and did something, she would just be gone. So I almost had no more children when I had Hannah. I'm like, I had postpartum depression a lot after I had Hannah. So that was a very difficult time for us, but she surely kept me close to Jesus. One time, I will tell you, my husband took her shopping, and she was little, so he had put her in the bottom of the cart. Now, of course, she could walk, you know, she wasn't that small. And so I had trusted him with our only daughter, by the way. And so he decided he would go shoe shopping. So he had pulled her into the, you know, he put her in the cart, and he, you know, and so, which I was, you know, I'm like, this is a blessing. You know, he's taking her. This is great, you know. So I'm at home. I have no idea. And he said, you know, Tracy, I turned around to look at shoes, and I turned back around, and she was gone. Just like that, she was gone. And this is my daughter. And so then he's like, and I'm like, are you serious? You lost our child? What kind of father are you? And I didn't say that exactly. I just said, you lost our child, but I didn't, you know, I thought the thought, what kind of father are you? But I didn't say that out loud. By that point, I was hormonal, but I had some self-control. So anyway, the manager came walking up with our child because she, from the back all the way to the front, she'd already gone that just that quick. And that was Hannah. So, and then I had our son and Isaiah. He was a cuddle bug. He loved to cuddle, and curly, curly hair, bluest eyes you've ever seen. People would stop me literally in the store and go, wow, he's gorgeous. And thank God for that, because when he got older, I have a kitchen, and I have no window in my kitchen. And we have a double deck. So unbeknownst to this wonderful, wonderful mother, you know, I'm really always watching my children. I know this never happens to you. He would go outside, and I'm like, oh, he's playing soccer outside. He's just such a good boy. Well, one of my neighbors one time said, oh, yeah, I know you. Your son comes out, and he climbs from the top of the deck all the way down. He's such a climber. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Okay. And then him and my youngest, by the way, would go in my neighborhood, and they would play the game, ring the doorbell excessively, and then run away. Again, we don't know where mom was. I don't know. I was in the bubble bath. Who knows? What kind of mother is this? You let your child go down the deck, and then your children are tormenting your neighbors? I'm like, so then they come to me, knock on the door, and they're like, your son and daughter are ringing the door. I'm like, no, they're not. They're not ringing the door. I raised better kids than that. Sure enough, they were ringing the door, and they were hiding. So I had to correct that. And then one time, you know, I'm being transparent, Lisa, like you said, because we're such good parents, I think it was my youngest, I'm not sure. This was the last straw. She ran down our sidewalk stark naked when she was young in the summer. Thank God it wasn't winter. But I'm like, there she goes, butt naked. And she was little. I mean, of course, thank God for that. But I'm like, so any kind of dignity as a mother, see, right now you're like, oh, good, good. She's like me, I hope. Or maybe you need to turn off something and not listen. I don't know. But this is my family, and I love them dearly. And God gives us children to keep us close to him and to humble us. Because so many times as women, we can get our identity from our children. And really and truly, that's not fair. That puts a lot of pressure on them. I don't know about you, but I don't see my mom here this morning. She was here last night. But I did a lot of stuff when I was young. And so I don't know about you all, but I, you know, thank God my mom still loves me. And I mean, I try to get my sister, sorry, Stace, I try to put her in the oven. There's my sister right there. She's the twin. Here, stand up, Stacey. She loves it when I do this to her. She loves it. Anyway, I tried to get her in the oven when she was young. She couldn't fit. Doggone it. So she couldn't. And I was like, man, you need to get in the oven. It would be fun. So then I put my cat in the dryer, but I did get her wet first. And I cut her whiskers off, too. I don't know what that was about. I think they were just uneven, and I was trying to help her. And you know how it is. You cut a little bit off, and then it's not even, and then you keep cutting. So she kept running into things, and I wasn't quite sure why. So I did get her wet, put her in the dryer, and turned it on. So I thought it would be fun, you know. I just thought it would be fun. And so Stacy did tell on me. She, yeah, I still forgive you for that, by the way. And so my mom was like, no, she wouldn't do that, until she heard the clunk. Clunk. And then she's like, oh, dear Lord. So she runs downstairs, opens the dryer. The cat flies out and won't come to me for like months. I don't understand it. So I have to say, I really got off pretty calm. My kids are pretty calm compared to what I was like. So anyway, just a little bit about me. So now you can laugh at me. All right, we're going to talk about going deeper. And you're like, what does that have to do with it? I don't know. Except I want you to know a little bit about me. And honestly, if there's hope for me, there is hope for you. I will tell you. Yeah. So going deeper requires transformation. We're going to talk about this. Luke 5:4. Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So again, taking a little bit about this is our main scripture about going deeper. Just going to touch on that a little bit. Of course, Peter was a fisherman. This is what he did all of his life. And he fished all night. You know the story. Caught nothing. Tired, coming in, cleaning his nets. And there was Jesus. And Jesus said, I know you're tired. Okay, this is my spin on it. And I know you're exhausted, but I want you to go out deeper. And I'm sure Peter thought to himself, like Lisa said last night, are you kidding me? I'm tired. I've already done that. I know where the fishing spots are. You know, my husband is a fisherman. He knows all the bait. Use this and use this. And, you know, he knows where the fishing holes are. And you follow the birds, because wherever the birds are, there are fish, right? And so he knows those secrets. And that's what he says. I'm sure Peter was like that. And I think it's interesting. It wasn't about fishing. Not really. Jesus wanted to get Peter's attention. So he was taking him somewhere unfamiliar, different, uncomfortable, against what Peter thought. What? This is ridiculous. Have you ever been there? Do you relate to that at all? Are you kidding me? I don't want to be a pastor's wife. Have you seen me? I am not perfect. I don't sing. Pastors' wives always sing. And they sing well. And they have it all together. Have you seen underneath of my cabinet? If you open the door, things fall out. God, this is representative of my life. If I open the door, things fall out. I don't know. You know, Jesus calls us to things that are uncomfortable. Things we don't always understand. You know? And we can argue with God. God, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk to that neighbor. Do you know how snooty they are? Do you know they're one of those neighbors that never clean their yard? You know, and the leaves get in my yard and it just makes me not like them. Or their kids ring our doorbell excessively. What kind of people are they? But Jesus calls us to him anyway, doesn't he? Love the unlovable. And he humbles us. Just like Lisa said, what does it take to go deeper? It takes teachability, transparency, and tenderness. Tenderness. Well, if you live in the world very long, you're not going to have much tenderness, are you? Especially as women. You know, because you hear, come on. You can't be emotional. Don't let people bother you. Don't, you know, they kind of want us to be like a man in a way. No offense, men. We need you, and we're glad that you're men. But we need to be women. And it's really an honor to be a woman. It really is. We fight like women. We love like women. And there's power in that. It really is. God wants us to keep ourselves tender before him. Going deeper requires transformation. Going into the deep. When I was a little girl, I almost drowned a couple of times, by the way. Yeah, that was me too. I also ran into an electric fence when I was young and put holes all in my clothes and passed out when my mom found me. Yes, I know. I tell her thank you every single day. I tell her I'm sorry as well. But I almost drowned. So going deep for me has always been really nervous. I was nervous about that. But God, this kind of deep that God calls us into, you don't have to be nervous because God is with us. Is with us. So Jesus invites us into deep places. He doesn't force us, but he invites us. Will you come? Will you come? Will you let go of the things that you're holding on to? Will you let go of the security? Will you let go of your reputation? You know, I didn't think I was a very prideful person. So one day I was praying and I was telling on my husband. I know you never do that. But I was complaining about my husband. Is he here? Oh, no, he's not. He is coming, so I'll tell you this before he comes. No, I'm kidding. He knows this all about me anyway. But I was complaining, and I was telling him all about the things I didn't like about my husband. And the Lord, you know, how Lisa was saying, you get really quiet after you vent. And the Lord said to me, I gave you your husband. He's a gift to you. I said, well, I don't see it. And I need you to help me. I would like to say I have a good attitude most of the time. I don't know. God is working on me. And he said, well, you're very prideful. And your husband helps to keep you humble. So there you go. And I'm like, how do you argue with that? I'm not prideful. I'm like, okay, thank you. So I quit telling on my husband. So he does. He helps us. God helps us. So God invites us to places where we have to do things that we haven't done before. We have to learn things we haven't learned before. And it's really humiliating. When you get older, I don't know what it is, but you really don't want to have to do new things. You don't really want to look silly or stupid or dumb. Oh, by the way, I forgot to put mascara on this morning. I just need to let you know that. Yeah, I was going to put it on, and I didn't. So if you're looking and going, where's her eyes? I didn't put them on. So, it just keeps us close to Jesus. So, I will tell you, it's really funny. These jeans I had on yesterday, by the way. Now, normally when I do a conference, I don't wear the same clothes over again. But I did today. I'm like, you know what? I'm comfortable in these jeans. So you're going to have to love me in the same jeans. And by the way, somebody said to me, they said, you know, I tell my kids all the time, those jeans are fine. You can wear them more than once, right? So I said, yeah. And I always tell my son that too, because he thinks that he lives in a hotel. And so he washes and needs a new towel every day, by the way. So I go into his bathroom, and there are like 20 towels in there. I'm like, seriously? So it keeps us humble, loving our children and wearing our same jeans. Going deeper takes tenderness, transparency. I'm really transparent this morning with you. And teachability. All right. Well, what happens? God requires transformation, and transformation begins with desire. 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 What is desire? Desire is a longing. It's a wish for something. Desire. And God puts us desires in our hearts. He really does. Desires to be known, to be loved, to be seen. To be a part of something bigger and greater than ourselves. That's what he puts in us. He puts in us beauty. One of our strengths is our beauty. And we offer that to the world. It isn't about what we look like, although it is part of it, but it isn't all of it. It's about your beauty from, oh, there you are, Mom. Hi. Stand up. This is my mom. I love my mom. Thank you, Mom, for loving me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you that I caused you so many problems. It's not just what we look like, but it's who we are inside. It really is. It's the way that you communicate to the world. It's the way that you see things that other people don't see. You know, we had a group of ladies today. We went into Starbucks this morning, and they allowed us to go first, and they were part of this group. They said, we can be late, but you all can't. And we really appreciated that. That's beauty. That was preferring others over themselves, especially when it came to Starbucks. I was like, wow, that's quite a sacrifice. So thank you. It's how you open the door for people. It's how you love children. You get on their level. It's how you serve one another, the beauty that you offer the world. It goes against the spirit of this world that says, you know, assert yourself, be first. Nobody's going to look out for you. You have to look out for yourself. That's not the spirit of Jesus, right? It's not who he is. So it's our beauty that we offer to the world. The reason we do not see God is the faintness of our desire. That really convicted me the first time I read that. Meister Eckhart said that. The reason we don't see God is the faintness of a desire. Do you really want to see God? When was the last time that you had a deep, deep longing for God? Deep longing for God. When was the last time you had a deep longing to be loved? Loved so deeply. When was the last time you had a deep desire to be seen or heard, like what we talked about? We walk around in this world every day, and sometimes we don't see each other. We really don't. We might, you know, even at church, people, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. But we don't really connect. God has made us for connection. Connection, deeper connection. That somebody looks at you face to face, eye to eye, and they say, how are you really doing? You see, women do that. Women notice that. They notice when you come in and the shoulders are down, or they notice things. And that's a gift from the Lord. You know, that we see one another. It isn't about speaking, you know, fabulously or looking or having a perfect family. It's about seeing one another. It's about connecting to each other. It's about connecting to Jesus. Even in our messiness, really, messiness. You know, Lisa talked about yesterday, and I love what Lisa said, you know, that she was really upset with her kids. I've had those moments where I've had to go back, my daughter can say yes, and repent and say, you know, Mom lost it. Mom didn't act right here. Mom was sharp there, and I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And that's part of being connected to one another. It's not about perfection. You're not going to get everything right, are we? Not at all. We need to pay attention to the spirit desires that have been placed inside of us by God. We need to let those things stir up within us. You need to cry before the Lord. You need to sit with God for a while. One of the secrets of my life, and I've been doing this for the last probably couple years. A couple years ago, I had a fit, and it was a long fit, a very long fit. My oldest is married, but she is not serving the Lord. She walked away from the Lord about 19 years old and then got married to a man who doesn't know the Lord either. He's an atheist, actually. And my husband and I have cried and cried and cried, and we continue to cry. It is close to our hearts. And one of the most painful things that we've walked through, and we continue to walk through, but God is faithful. And you know how that is. You beat yourself up and think, oh, Lord, I had too many of those incidents. You know, I was younger and postpartum depression, and I wish I would have done things a little different. You know, on this side of things, being 50. Okay, 51. You know, you just learn. You know, hopefully, right? So I was 30-something when I first had Hannah. And, oh, I was so afraid of everything. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't watch that. Oh, don't do this. Oh, and I was so afraid, you know. She was my first, and I loved her dearly, and I just wanted to protect her from everything. And but I was really fearful and probably more controlling than I needed to be. And I didn't know how to trust the Lord with her as much as I should have. And so you beat yourself up over that, and you're like, wow. You know, and you just go over and over in your mind. And then the enemy comes in and torments you. Yeah, well, see, well, look at that family. Well, they're perfect, you know. Wow, you really messed up here. And so, you know, you have to really take authority over those things. But I will tell you what happens a lot of times, because you're still a pastor's wife, right? And you don't want to always talk about that. People don't always want to hear about that. I mean, you know. And, you know, we do walk in faith, and we're to walk in faith. But you know, it's still a journey. And I'm believing God, that God is working and moving. And I see the Lord working. But you can't allow the enemy to beat you up. Because you know, God is a redeemer. He is a redeemer. And what we do a lot of times is we cut off our own desires. We're like, you know what? It's just too hard. It just hurts too much. And so you find yourself, sometimes you don't really, you're not saying, I'm going to cut my heart off. It just happens because of hurt and because of pain and disappointment. So a couple years ago when that first happened, I was so mad at God. And I was in this, okay, God, I did 2 + 2, and it's supposed to equal 4. And I've got 2 + 2, and it's like, I don't know, 86. I don't understand why we have an 86. I put in the quarters in the Coke machine. I pressed the Coke, and I got, you know, something completely different. And I don't understand it. And I was mad. I was really, really mad. And I wouldn't stay still long enough because it was too hard. I felt like such a failure. And I was really mad. I was kind of like, you know, Harriet Maurer, Lisa talked about Harriet Maurer yesterday, and I was invited to a soul care retreat with about 10 other ladies, and they were in Ohio, and Lisa had invited me and Harriet, and I was so excited to go, but then I was afraid, and I was like having a fit. I was surprised my husband didn't say, you need to get in the corner. I don't even know what to do with you. Because everybody kept calling me and going, we want you all to come. It's going to be great. And I'm like, I don't want to go. I was really mad. I didn't really want to go. I wanted to, but I didn't want to go because I was so mad at God. And I knew I was going to cry probably in front of people. And I really didn't want to have to do that. It's too messy. And I'd cried already by myself. And I didn't really want to do that. But they worked with me. They got me a flight and everything. Because I was like, I am not going to drive. I'm not driving. And so that was, you know, it for me. And then they called and said, guess what? We got you a flight. I'm like, oh, man. And I knew it was Jesus to go, but I was still mad. I'm like, I do not want to go. And so, I'm sorry, Lisa. I don't know if I ever told you that completely or not. And then I had to stay with a woman in a house. And I didn't know her. I'm like, I don't know her. I don't want to stay there. I had to share a bathroom. I was nasty. I was not in a good place at all. I just mad. And actually, I fell in love with her, by the way. She was so sweet to me. But so we went around. Harriet was doing an exercise called Lectio Divina. And was that my timer? Do I need to leave? And so anyway, she had said, Tracy, would you like to share? I said, no, absolutely not. I'm not sharing. And Harriet looked at me, and she goes, okay. And then she went on, you know. But I was like, I am not sharing. So, because you had to share your story, you know, a little bit why you were there and all that. I'm like, I am not sharing. So I was the very last person to share. And they gave me the tissue box. I had it right. I think I used every tissue, you know. And they loved me through that. It was such a gift for me. And one of the things that I learned of spiritual disciplines was silence and solitude. I'm a talker, as you can see, and I feel words. I just feel space up with all these words. And it takes me a long time to figure out what I really want. And then I learned if I just sit in the presence of the Lord, and here's what I do. I use the name of Jesus, and I'll just sit in his presence by myself, maybe 2 minutes. I'll just sit down. I'm going to sit down here. And I'll put my timer on. And I'll just sit. Maybe I'll have 5 minutes. And you know, your mind is like a bunch of monkeys. I don't know about you, but they just go from one branch to another looking for bananas. You know what I'm saying? You sit before the Lord and all of a sudden you have, oh my gosh, I've got 500 things I need to do. So what I do is one of my issues, by the way, Jim Dupin, is being alone. And so I feel very alone at times. And so what I'll do is I'll use the name Abba. And just an intimate name of God that is really important to you. If sometimes I use, you are my peace. So I'll sit before the Lord and I'll say, Abba, you are with me. You are with me. You love me. When I was at that retreat, one of the things that God spoke to me, one of the gifts that we were given, she said, hey, we're going to go on a walk. We're going to walk in this park, and you're going to have 6 hours completely alone with God. You're going to walk through this park, and if you see one another, you may not speak to each other at all. You have to spend that time with God. I was like, yes. So I found this little creek, and I sat down where nobody could see me, and it was just me and God. And I cried, and I spent that time with the Lord. And here's what the Lord said to me. He said, it's still powerful, and I'll use this in my silence and solitude. He said, you're mine first. You're mine before you're a wife. You're mine before you're a mother. You're mine before you're a daughter. You're mine first, and I love you. And when you're silent like that before the Lord, you just cry. He just feels your heart, and he gets all that gunk out. That was a gift for me. I want to encourage you. In your folder, you have a little card, and it talks about having silent time before the Lord. It isn't about, you know, somebody told me once, you need 30 minutes. I'm like, no, you don't need 30 minutes. Just spend as much as you can. 2 minutes, 5 minutes with the Lord, and spend that time with God. Spend that time so he can do that work he needs to do in you. The tenderness and the vulnerability. Let's go ahead, Roy, and let's go to the last slide, the mark. We're going to go ahead and go right into a story about desire. Thank you. Mark 10, 46 through 52, we're going to talk about blind Bartimaeus, and this is all about desire, all about desire. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. So I want to talk a little bit about this story. So here's blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the side of the road. He's been begging for years. It's the same road, sitting at the same place, probably the same people going in and out. They knew who he was. He knew who they were. And that was his identity. He was a blind man. He begged. That's who he was. There was no other hope in his life. Day in and day out, he sat by that same road over and over again. He was blind Bartimaeus. And then all of a sudden, he heard Jesus was coming by. Do you know he sat by that road for years with no hope? Are you like him? I've been like that. Stuck in the same place over and over again, feeling like things are never going to change, feeling like there's no hope every single day, same thing. And all of a sudden, Jesus, he heard something, that Jesus was coming by. All of a sudden, hope began to spring forth in him. Can you imagine? I can imagine. I can see him sitting there thinking, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He heals people. Jesus is coming. So he's thinking about this. And so desire begins to happen. Possibilities begin to happen. When Jesus comes into our lives, desire begins to happen. Possibilities begin to come up. Like, oh, I could live differently here. I could do things differently here. See, I want you to relate to that. I want desire to be stirred within you. Places that you feel stuck in your life. See, transformation only happens and begins in desire. The world and the enemy, it's the enemy always, will kill that desire. Oh, no, 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 you got to sit down. No, you're blind Bartimaeus. That's who you are. That's your identity. No, 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 your parents were like this, you'll be like this. You know, your parents were poor, you're going to be poor. Your parents struggle with this, you're going to struggle with this. See, that's the voice of the enemy. There's no possibilities there. Don't desire. Don't get your hopes up. You know, as women, we're like, okay, things got to get done. So we just go and we just do. And all of a sudden, we're on autopilot. Our hearts are no longer in this. I could do that as a pastor. I've done that as a pastor. My heart isn't in it. I still love Jesus, you know, but it's going through motions without the heart of it. And that's where you got to really stop. And if you are there, which is okay, no judgment, Jesus is in this picture. Jesus can warm your heart. Jesus can make different changes in you. But you've got to decide that you're going to allow that desire to come forth. Things can change. Now, like Peter, he is inviting you into something different. You know, you may say, I want my spouse to change. I want my children to change. I want the situations to change. Okay. But it needs to start with you. You love that. You're like, doggone it. And God says, okay, they'll change, but you're going to be the one who starts the change. You're going to humble yourself. You're going to love when it's hard. You're going to forgive quickly. And you're going to keep your heart alive. You have to keep your heart alive, ladies. You have to fight for that heart. It's really important that we do, in that desire that's welling up. So here's Bartimaeus. He's thinking, so that desire's happening. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes. And he's thinking, how am I going to get his attention? How am I going to get his attention? He's got those disciples around him all the time. Here I am sitting by the side of the road. I'm blind and all these people are noisy. How am I going to get his attention? This is difficult. This is a blind man here, you know. So he had to reach down deep into his heart, that desire. And he does something maybe he's never done before. He's going to yell, Jesus, in the middle of the crowd. Jesus, have mercy on me. And all of a sudden, what happens? This is what happens when you get in touch with your desire, ladies, and you start making a change, and it's uncomfortable, and you're doing things you've never done before. Like if you're trying to lose weight, and you're like, okay, I got to go to the gym. I got to get on that dumb bicycle, and then I'm going to look stupid. I'm going to look dumb. Get on the bicycle and look dumb. Humble yourself. Do something different. Go against what you're used to. Go against it, because we're not really trusting God if we're doing it on our own strength, right? There you go. Got to do something different. Write that note. Say you're sorry first. Reconcile. Humble yourself. Do what you got to do, and God will. There is truth and life in it. Just like Peter. All right. I'll go in the deep. You know, can you imagine? It's a bad attitude, right? Get in the boat. Go out in the deep again. This man doesn't know what he's talking about, right? He gets out there. Net in the deep, whatever. I've done this on, and I could see this. This relationship. I've loved and forgiven. I've been married. Okay, this isn't always about marriage, but you know, oh, darn children. You know, whatever it is. You know, I've done this for years, and Jesus said, "Do it again. Do it again." But this time, I'm telling you to do it the way I want you to do it. You put that net out there. All of a sudden. Starts coming alive. All those fish. And he starts pulling it up. And he starts pulling it up. And guess what? There's life. There's a miracle that's starting to happen. Did Peter go out there thinking there was going to be a miracle? No. He did it in obedience. Obedience is important, guys. Right? He did in obedience. Blind Bartimaeus screaming at Jesus. What happens? People get nervous around him. Oh, no. What's he doing? They get all nervous. Sit down. Be quiet. What are you doing? Y'all heard those voices before? The enemy? Tracy, you look stupid. Shut up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Shut up, devil. Kick him. Dance. You know what? When I'm down and I'm like, and it's walking through concrete, you've been there. You're like crying. I'm like, I'm going to put the happy song on. This is what I think of you, devil. Yeah. Happy. In Jesus' name. This is who I am. So. I pray in the spirit a lot, too, when I'm dancing. Okay. So, blind Bartimaeus. So, he is yelling at Jesus. He's doing something different. God is. So, number one, you want the transformation to happen? You have Jesus in that picture. You get that. Let him stir up that desire. Number two, you push past obstacles. You do something different you've never done before. Even if it's a risk. Right? So, of course, expect opposition. Devil's not going to like it. You haven't had victory there. So, he's going to push back on you. Your daughter or your son going to give you, you know, problems. Your husband is not going to appreciate what you've done. You clean the whole house. You're exhausted. And he comes home and he says, what can we eat? And you're like, dear Lord, I'm going to kick him. I'd never think that way. But I don't kick my husband, Roy, by the way. And he doesn't see all the things you've done. You know, just get ready. You know, it's opposition. Okay, so what does Bartimaeus do in opposition? Does he sit down and give up and go, yeah, you're right. I'm going to sit down here. I'm always a blind man. I'm just going to stay blind. Is that what he does? No. He gets louder. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We women, we know how to get louder, don't we? Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not just going to worship in my kitchen. I'm going to quote scripture, too. I'm going to speak in the spirit. I'm going to find somebody else, and I'm going to love on them. Let me tell you what I'm doing. My daughter's not serving the Lord right now. I'm like, God, you give me every young girl I can find. You give them to me. I will take down the enemy. I will love on them. I will tell them the truth. I will, yeah, because my daughter's going to come home. But I'm taking every daughter I can with me to heaven. Because I'm not giving up. I am not. And so that's what you do. You're like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. And it may seem crazy, and you may walk in my kitchen and go, she's crazy, but you know what? I'm blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to yell louder in the face of the enemy. Because this desire is going to stay. It's going to keep going, because he wouldn't have been able to stand up to the enemy if he hadn't let that desire, the possibility of change, happen in his life. We have to do that. Write it out, ladies. Date it. This is going to happen. And I don't know how it's going to happen. But if it means that I go in the deep and it's uncomfortable, I'm going in the deep. And you know what? If I drown, I drown. But I'm going in the deep. I told somebody one time, it was really funny. We had to do something. I'm working with a ministry for, it's called Women of the Well here in Louisville. And they work hard to get women off the streets and prostitution and human trafficking. And I'm very unfamiliar with a lot of that. And so I feel like sometimes I'm stumbling around, you know, and I told somebody, I said, it's kind of like you jump in the water and you do a belly flop, you know, but you're in the water. I'm in the water and I'm swimming. It may not look pretty and it's not perfect, but I'm in the water and I'm swimming. And it's not about perfection. I need to wrap this up. I know. Okay. So he yells and he gets in the face of the enemy. And so he's like, I'm not going to be intimidated. So when the enemy and the obstacles comes, he pushes past it, right? So then Jesus, he yells, and Jesus says, hey, tell him to come here. All of a sudden, when we get in touch with that desire and we're yelling at the Lord, or, you know, we're crying out to him, that kind of, now listen, there's a real noise, lots of noise. How did he hear him? Because he was in touch with his desire. He was crying out for the depths of his heart. Jesus. And Jesus stops. He arrests right in the middle of the path and the noise and all the messiness because he was important to Jesus. He was finally seen. He probably wasn't seen alive. It's the same with you. You get Jesus' attention. He stops. You're important to him. Don't let that desire die. And Jesus says, bring it here. And so what's he do? Blind Bartimaeus, what's he do? Springs up, throws off his coat. He's ready. You better be ready. Be ready. That's another one. Be ready. When you push through those obstacles that Jesus calls you, you better be ready. Now, what I love about this is he springs up, but he throws off his coat. Well, that's been his identity, ladies. He probably wore that around him really tightly. He had all these little seams where he put the money in. He threw his coat off. He left his old identity behind. Left it behind. That's what we got to do. Be willing to leave your old stuff behind. That's not going to help you anymore where you're going. You don't need that. You're not going to see. He knew he wasn't going to be blind anymore, ladies. He had faith. He didn't need that jacket anymore. And some scholars say that might have been the only thing he had on, ladies. So sometimes we're going to lose our dignity. Sometimes where he calls us, you willing? You willing to go out in the deep? It's humiliating sometimes. Peter thought he knew everything, you know, about fishing. Jesus called him out to the deep. Totally different place. He thought, oh, we're not going to get anything. And oh, dear Lord, did he get something, right? It was a miracle of God because it wasn't about Peter. It really wasn't about what he knew and how he could do things. It's all about Jesus. It's always all about Jesus. So he threw off that coat. You throw off your identity. Throw it off. Because guess what? You're coming face to face with the Son of God. Jesus called him right in front of him. And the weirdest question, what do you want me to do for you? Well, hello, he's blind. What kind of question is that? Jesus always asks questions, doesn't he? And usually he asks questions because he wants us to get in touch with our desires. He asks us those questions. What do you want me to do for you? What do you seek? What do you need? When you have your silence and solitude with Jesus, you tell him what you want. You got to be in touch with your desire. Tell him what you want. Because he calls it to us. What do you want? What do you need? It's interesting, isn't it? Because that was a very intimate moment. It's in front of people. And I would have probably been like, can we just go alone over here? I mean, I'm blind, but I know people are staring at me. And you're asking me this very personal question face to face. What do I want? Oh, I don't know. Isn't it obvious? Well, I mean, why do I have to say it? There's power in speaking forth your need before the Lord. See, he already knows what you need, but he wants you to say it. There's something about vulnerability, transparency, and a tenderness that you have to say it in front of the Lord's presence. Say it. So he did, and Jesus healed him. He said, your faith has made you well. I love that story. It makes me cry. But something else. Now, blind Bartimaeus has been blind all his life. He didn't know how to live like a seeing person. I don't know. Probably needed clothes, too. Hallelujah. Sorry, it's a squirrel moment. Okay. So, but here's the thing. He's never learned how to see and how to walk and live that life. So if you see the scripture, it says he followed him along the road. What Jesus does, and he leads us into that transformation. He's never going to leave us there, ladies. He will teach you how to live that out. But it's all in dependency on him. And that's how it should be, right? That's how it should be. So if we could have the worship team come up for a few minutes, and I'd like us to respond to this. Lord, you want to bring transformation in each of us. Help our hearts to stay tender before you, Lord. Help us to name the desire that we have in your presence. So we're going to have a little bit of time in worship. And I want you to sit before the Lord. And I want you to name that desire. What is it that you need from God? What is it that you want? I want such an intimacy with the Lord. Every time I wake up, I want to feel his presence with me all the time. He loves you so much.